Well, another good evening to you. It is good to see so many out. You'll notice this evening all the rainies out. See the slightest hint of there being food, and that's why Evan came down to join us. Food brings us out. So hopefully today we'll not only get some physical food, but we'll get some food from God's Word. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you. You're a God that is intimately interested in our situations and intimately interested in us, every single one of us here. Lord, and you want to give us the best in this world. And Lord, this is a dark, dark world, and none of us have been here before, and certainly none of us have been to heaven, and we don't understand spiritual things yet. Lord, in your mercy and grace, you have shown us the truths of heaven. So, Lord, I just pray tonight that we would all see another truth of heaven fresh tonight in a new way, in a way that we haven't seen before. Lord, that you would take away so many of the fears and doubts and anxieties that beset us day in and day out. Be blessed in your name. Amen. While we recently have been looking, we've sort of been going through a series looking at some of the things that Jesus said, some of the things he said about himself. He said, "I am." And he said it 7 times in John's Gospel. And we've been starting to look at some of them. For example, Tally was speaking on, "I am the door." And Keith has been speaking on, "I am the good shepherd." And I was speaking on, "I am the light of the world." But of course, even more general than that, those are very specific things that Jesus was saying, but in a more general sense, Jesus in a way was saying, "I am God." Because God called himself the great I am. And when Jesus kept on emphasizing all the things that he was, saying, "I am," he is declaring there's something going on here. Hopefully it's just to do with food, is it? Fly, aren't those flies a real pain in the neck? I'm sure there was a couple landed on me during the singing, and you're and not wanting to look like an idiot at the front going like this. But yes, Jesus was in saying "I am" so many times, saying about his relationship to the great I am, how that he was the Son of God and how that he himself was God. Tonight's message, when Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life," Jesus gives us a wonderful, wonderful illustration to go with his message. An illustration that there's not many preachers that are going to equal. And preachers always love to give a wee illustration or a wee story to go with their message to back up what they're saying. But Jesus really trumps them all in this story tonight. But if you're going to talk about Jesus declaring that "I am the resurrection and the life," it is pretty pointless unless you first talk about death. You know, what good is there talking about resurrection if you do not talk about death first? And that's why I started with the little look at a few of Terry Wogan's funniest moments. As I said at the start, I said to Steph when I heard about Terry Wogan dying, how there seem to be lots of famous people dying. I'm one for looking. I don't watch the news on TV. I'd go on most days and have a quick look at BBC website, just check out the main stories. And it's amazing how recently there's always been a death up there. And I decided to go on Wiki and see how many famous people had died in 2006 already. And I was expecting there to be maybe a dozen of them, you know. 2016. Well. I look at all dates, and I was particularly interested in 2006, but I'll not tell you about that. I went on to look at 2016 and how many people had died already. See, that's me trying to put off death for as long as possible. You live in the past. If you don't want to face death, live in the past. But you see on Wikipedia, on the internet, I know they have a lot of people that they would class as, you know, they would give information about that none of us have ever heard of. But there was about 20 people a day have died of sort of notable worth. In fact, there was one day, and it was I think it was the 3rd or the 4th of January, there was about 50 famous people died that day. couldn't believe it. But we know a few of them. You knew that the actor Alan Rickman died there not so long ago, and David Bowie, of course, died. And when you go back before Christmas, there was many, many more. But it really is one thing that we can't, none of us can run away from. You know, I do not have to be the greatest prophet of all time to go around this room and go to every single person and tell them that they are going to die. Now, I know there's going to be some hair splitter in here tonight who's going to say, oh, but what if God, if Christ returns and then we won't die? That's right. There's a generation that's going to live, and we perhaps are that generation, that Jesus says at the end he will come back and that they will not die. But if that doesn't happen, every single one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, is going to die. And it is, you know, it's mind blowing when you think about it. And yet it's something that we talk about so little. And it was interesting looking through all those people on Wikipedia on the internet, all those people had died, because they were from all walks of life. There was the actors, there was the presenters, there was the sports people. There was people from such and such, you know, the Baseball Hall of Fame. There was people, footballing people. There was then people from the political world, all around, you know, Russians, Americans, English, British, whatever, all sorts of nationalities. There was people from the clergy. It didn't matter what walk of life it was, people seemed to be represented in this list of the dead. And of course, that's so true. Doesn't matter whether you're Queen of England, doesn't matter whether you're locked up for life in prison, you are going to die. Death comes to us all. And of course, it's quite a morbid thing to think about, death, but to think about us all, you know, we joke about who's going to take each other, the leaders' meetings, who's going to take all the different funerals, you know. And Keith is down for Taddy's funeral, and I'm down for Keith's funeral, because I'm going to live much longer than the most. But we're all going to have a funeral, and it's funny to imagine what your own funeral will be like. You know, I wonder who's going to come. Wonder what will anyone come? Wonder will they say? Wonder what they'll say about me. I wonder will anyone come to mourn. Wonder will the BBC turn up and put me on Wiki. I don't think so. But today's story is about a man who died. It's about Lazarus, one of the famous stories of the Bible about the death of Lazarus. And Mary and Martha, his sisters, were in mourning. And many, many people, they didn't live far, they only lived a couple of miles from Jerusalem. And many, many people, it says, came to comfort them and to mourn with them. And it was a sad time in Bethany. That was where they lived for so many. And 4 days, I was thinking it was 4 days until Jesus came. And 4 days is quite a long time. You know, if you think of a loved one who has died, 4 days of that grief is quite a long time. You go through an awful lot in those 4 days. And I'm sure a lot of the chat, I'm sure at times to times, Jesus' name was mentioned, you know. It's a wonder he never came. And it's a wonder he still hasn't come. And all sorts of things. You go through a lot of emotions. But let's read what happened. And it's quite a long passage. John chapter 11. And we're going to start in verse 17. This is on the arrival of Jesus. So on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. Oh, there was me. I thought I was showing off on how close Bethany was to Jerusalem, but it was the Bible that told me. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Now, I don't apologize for it being a long reading. I went through it and tried to think about the bits we'd leave out, but really, you can't leave any of that story out. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. And it's a story that sort of covers so many of the human emotions. The emotions of, you know, disappointment, and even the sort of feeling of almost betrayal by Jesus. The feelings of sadness and mourning. The pity that Jesus shows, the love and compassion that he shows. And then, of course, you can imagine the scenes at the end of it. The amazement followed by the happiness and the joy at what took place. There's so many comments as well that could be made about this passage, but they're not for tonight. Tonight is about that one verse where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. You see, we all agree. Well, I'm pretty sure, I hope we all agree that death is going to come for all of us. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be a biologist. You don't have to have any understanding whatsoever to know that death is coming to all of us. But do we all know, like Martha? See, Martha was confident that there was going to be a resurrection. She had no doubt about that. She said, I know that on the last day, Lord, he will be resurrected again. Do we all know that there will be a resurrection? You see, the Bible tells us in three different places, obviously, but it talks about it in so many other places as well, how that there's going to be a resurrection for everybody. And I'm going to read a couple of them. Acts 24. And this is Paul in the middle of talking to the governor and to Felix. He says in Acts 24, he says, however, I admit that I worship the God of our fathers as a follower of the way, which they call a sect. Basically, he was saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus. I believe everything that agrees with the law and that is written in the prophets. And I have the same hope in God as these men, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. You see, he's claiming that he believes the same as all those Jewish people that were there at the same time, the people who wanted to kill him. He says, I believe the same thing. I believe there's going to be a resurrection for everybody. There's going to be a resurrection for the wicked, and there's going to be a resurrection for the righteous. We see it said in a slightly different way when Paul is speaking in the book of Romans, and I'll read it for you. In Romans chapter 2, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. And you see how that he's hinting there at the resurrection, how that there will be a future for both the righteous and the wicked. And we see it again I'll just read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul is specifically answering questions about the resurrection. In verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, which we were singing about earlier, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And when it says fallen asleep, of course, it's talking about those who have died. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. So we see here that by believing in death, we are in one way or another, whether we realize it or not, we're believing in the first man, Adam. And we all here believe in that because we believe in death. But do we all believe in the second man, the resurrection? Because Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. See, Jesus wasn't just saying that he believed that there was a resurrection. Any of those Jewish people who were at that funeral would all have said, yes, there is a resurrection. No, what Jesus came to say was, I am the resurrection. And he says, and that's the verse that we're focusing in on, verse 25 of John 11, because he says that whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. And then he goes one step further and says, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And at first reading, that sounds contradictory. Because at first he's saying, you know, if you believe in me, you'll live even though you're going to die. And then he says, you will live and you will never die. But of course, Jesus here was talking about two different kinds of death. He had to be, or else he was talking nonsense. Because what he was saying was, everyone's going to die. Even those people who believe in him, we're not exempt from dying. But what he was saying was, if you live and believe in me, death, even though you go through it, will not have that negative effect on you. Because you will live forever. And then you will never die. Whereas for the resurrection of the wicked, the Bible tells us they will die forever. Whoever believes in me will live. And then Jesus goes on to give that wonderful sermon illustration. Well, it wasn't that at all. But he raised Lazarus from the dead. I'm not going to say very much about him raising Lazarus from the dead. Just, can you imagine? I don't think any of us really truly can imagine. Maybe we can. We've all been to funerals, I'm sure, or most of us anyway. And never in your heart of hearts do you really expect the person to come out of the coffin. And if some Christian would go up and start praying at the coffin, if you're like me, you'd probably put your head in your hands and go, oh no, he's going to make a fool of himself. Because we don't in our hearts expect the resurrection. But Jesus here shows us, like there he was, roll the stone away. Oh no, can't roll the stone away. He's going to absolutely ming in there. He's been dead for 4 days already. And then he gets them to roll the stone away. And then Jesus calls in Lazarus, come out. He is showing the people with an illustration how that he is the resurrection and the life. He's giving the illustration of how that after death they will rise again. And then we have at the end of that verse, we have Jesus' very challenging words to Martha, where he says, Martha, do you believe this? And I think those words, we used to have them on the side of our building after a different verse in John chapter 3, where Jesus also says, do you believe this? And it's a wonderful challenge to all of us. Do you believe this? We all certainly believe in death. Do we believe in the resurrection of the dead? Do we believe that whoever believes in Jesus, although they die, they shall live? And whoever lives and believes in Jesus will never die, i.e. they will live forever. It's wonderful, wonderful news. So do you believe this? Do you believe in death? Do you believe in the resurrection? And do you believe in eternal life through Jesus? I think to finish with, I was particularly struck in preparing this sermon about the tomb and the people mourning at the tomb, and the idea of Mary for 4 days. She obviously for 4 days was going back and forth. Well, I presume she was going back and forth to the tomb, because there was the people, when she got up to leave quickly, they all assumed that was where she was going. And it was really, really clear idea of what I imagine that tomb to look like, and with the big stone, the big rough hewn stone that would have been slowly put across. But I was thinking of the tomb when it was open before the body went in, and it would have been such a bleak picture. And I thought it was a good illustration of so many people in this life, and we are staring into the tomb, the unknown. Staring into that blackness, not knowing what lies there. Some people go through life being haunted by the picture of the tomb, the picture of their death. Many people go through life trying their hardest, trying with every ounce of effort to not look at the tomb. They'll do anything. Anything in this world to avoid the whole subject of the tomb, of dying. But I just thought of Mary coming there and casting herself down at the tomb and in weeping and in mourning at the loss of her brother. And then the alternative, when she comes and she casts herself down at the feet of Jesus. You see, there is an alternative to death. That isn't to be found in some way of living. It isn't to be found in some magical cure for death. It's to be found in the person of Jesus Christ. Because in him and in him alone, he is the resurrection and he is life everlasting. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you. We want to thank you that you didn't leave us here in our state of death, but rather, Lord, you sent us, you came yourself as the solution to the problem, Lord, that in you we might have life, and Lord, not just a different version of this life, but life everlasting, because not only is there life in you, but there's resurrection in you. And Lord, I pray for everyone here tonight that they would put their belief in you, that they would put their life in your hands, that they would, although they die, Lord, that they would live and they would live forever. Only in you is life and resurrection found. For your name's sake, we pray all these things. Amen. Now, we're going to stand and sing one more song, and then we'll close in prayer, and then you're welcome, and please